This morning, I promise I will not be long. I'd like to speak on what team are you on? Are you on the right team? And, you know, a pastor got up to preach one morning, and he preached and preached and preached and preached and preached for a very, very long time. And he talked about how he had bandages all over his face, and he apologized. He said, "This morning I was focusing so much on the message that I cut myself while shaving." And so after the service, he was out shaking people's hands, and an older lady came up to him and said, "Pastor, next time, why don't you focus on the shaving and cut the preaching?" And anyway, I promise I won't be real long this morning, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read a few verses out of this. Do you mind standing with me in respect out of God's word as we read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3? We're going to begin reading in verse number 5 and read through verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege and the honor of being here this morning. Lord, we want to hear from you. Please, Holy Spirit, speak through me and to each one of us here. We pray that you just do something in our hearts, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what you do. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, you saw how a team effort can be very powerful on the mission field. And the fact is, we've been working with another missionary in a team effort, and we count our supporting churches as part of our team as well. You know, it's not just us. It's a big effort, a big teamwork that allows the mission work to happen. And people like you in this church here are praying for us and supporting us financially so that we can be in Brazil. And so this wouldn't be possible without you. But I want to encourage you this morning and see if you actually are on the team, if you're on the right team. The Bible talks about before we get saved, the fact is that we have the devil as our father. The Bible says that there are two fathers, the devil and then God is our father once we're born into God's family. And we can't serve both two masters. You know, once we've been born into God's family, we need to really look at serving God as our father and our master. But a lot of people, they have been saved, but they're not really being a part of the team. They're just kind of benchers. You know, I'm not a very talented sports guy. I tried, and soccer is a very big sport in Brazil, and I tried playing soccer, but I'm just not really good at it. I stink, honestly. And so when I played soccer in high school, in the States, we were on furlough my ninth grade year in high school, I was always on the bench, except for a few rare moments in a game. But I didn't really feel like I was that much of a part of the team just because I just couldn't contribute much. A lot of people, they think, well, I'm saved and that's good enough, but you're not getting involved and you're not really part of the team effort. And we really need to obey God's commission. You know, we said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That involves every one of you. You need to be involved in obeying that command that has been given to us. And so what are you doing? Are you being a part of this team? Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 how the Christians in that church were actually very, very immature Christians, and they were baby Christians. And we didn't read the first few verses, but he calls them carnal, and he says there's a lot of divisions among them and strife and envy, and he was just like, come on, it's time to grow up. You know, I'm not even able to really give you spiritual meat, food, because you're still on the milk. You know, it's annoying when we have children that we try to teach them, or students, and you try to teach them, they just don't want to grow. They want to stay like a little baby the whole time. And so we need to, as Christians, grow in the Lord. But here, he says that there was division going on. And if missions works as a team effort with the believers in the local church and the missionaries around the world, then the devil is sure going to try to divide that. He's going to want to break that up because he knows that if you're working together in a team effort, then he's going to try to break that and divide that so that we cannot be as effective. And in verse number 5, he said, then who's Paul and who is Apollos? You see, there are two different leaders that God had used to bring many people to Christ, Paul, Apollos, in this instance here. And the church was being somewhat divided. Some people were saying, I am of Paul. You know, Paul, he's my man. If he can't do it, no one can. I mean, he was that they were all for Paul. But then there were those who were, Apollos, he led me to Christ. He's a great, he's a great leader, and they started falling one over the other as if they couldn't be on the same team. And it's sad how that happens even in churches all around America, how there are divisions because of leaders, and people start supporting one leader, maybe an assistant pastor, a youth pastor, or a Sunday school teacher, or a bus director, somebody over another pastor, and it doesn't have to be like that. We can all be on the same team working with the same purpose to see souls saved around the world. And so, as Paul is instructing the people here, we need to realize that, first of all, we're all ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 5, he said that he and Apollos were but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He didn't put himself up on a pedestal and say, who am I? I'm a great preacher. I'm a great missionary evangelist. No, he said, I am just a minister. I'm just a servant. That's who I am. Who's Apollos? He is also a minister, a servant. A servant that God has used to bring you to believe and salvation. You know, today we need to all jump in and say, you know, I want to be a minister. I want to be a servant. And I want to serve in the local church, and I want to serve and make it possible to see people come to know Christ all around the world. I want to be a part of that team. I want to be. So are you serving? Have you been serving the Lord like Paul and Apollos this day? Have you been serving? We're just ministers of the word of the Lord. The second thing that that stands out here in this chapter, in this text, is the fact that we all have different jobs. We all have different parts. You know, as servants, we all will not do the same thing. Some people have different talents than you. Some people have different qualifications, and some people are better at this and that. I mean, we all have different jobs and different parts. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, I'll just read it really quickly for sake of time. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body are of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So he's going on to say, look, it's one body, but there are a lot of parts to that body. And if you read on that chapter, it's actually kind of comical how he's talking about, does it make sense if the ear were to say, I wish I were the eye, and since I'm not an eye, I'm not going to be a part of this body anymore. Or the foot to say, you know, I wish I were a hand, and since I'm not a hand, I don't get to be a hand. You know what, I'm leaving this body. Does that make any sense? But that's what Christians are doing. You know, something, you know what, if I can't be a Sunday school teacher, you can count me out. You know, if I can't be the one responsible for this part, that's what I want to do in church. You can't use me in that place, then you know, forget it. I'm out of here. But God has us all for a special purpose. We work together like one body. And so we need to realize we do have different jobs. You know, you might not be called to be a missionary in Brazil. That doesn't make your job more or less important than my job. We're servants of Christ. You aren't called to be the pastor of this church, but that doesn't make you less or more important than anybody else. I mean, God has a specific position in this work and this ministry and his body for you. And we all need to realize we need to fit in and do and accept the job that God has given for us to do. We get to preach the gospel to the deaf and the hearing in Brazil, and I wouldn't change that for anything. And don't say, God, you didn't call me to Brazil, and because of that, I'm not going to participate in missions. No. Pray, support your missionaries, give so that others can go. That might be your job. That's what God has for you to do right here. And so let's accept the job in getting the gospel preached around the world, and let's take a part in how God has us to do. We need to realize also that as ministers of Jesus Christ, and as where God has us in the ministry, we're not to glory in what is accomplished. We're not anything. And that's what Paul says in verse number 7. He says, so then neither is he that planteth, and you see the next word there, anything. Neither he that watereth. You know, he was saying in verse number 6 that he had planted, and that, by the way, is one way to serve. And Apollos had watered, that is another way to serve. They had different jobs, but they were working together in a team. And maybe you can use the planting as, you know, preaching the gospel and spreading God's word. But sometimes somebody doesn't come to accept Christ the very first time the gospel is preached to them. Well, don't go frustrated about that. You go knocking on a door and you give a tract and you present the gospel. They don't want to really make a decision. You know, you've done your job. You've presented the gospel. God is the one who has to save them. If they're not ready to make a decision, well, don't be defeated. You planted the seed. You never know when another soul is going to come or somebody else is going to come and say, you know what? This is what Jesus has done for you. And at that point, when they water that seed that was already planted, Maybe that person will come to trust Christ at that moment. Sometimes we have easy fruit to pick off of the tree. You know, I'll meet a person and I present the gospel, and they were so hungry and so eager and understanding, and it's like ready to trust Christ. That's because somebody else probably had something to do with that. I don't know who, but somebody else. And so you might be planting a seed, you might be watering a seed, but it's important. Just keep doing your job. But when it all comes down to it, we're not anything. Let's not glory in what we do, because the fact is, God is the one who gives the increase. That's what he said in verse number 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And you can plant all you want. You can be a farmer, and you can prepare the land, and you can till it, and you can put the seeds down, and you can water it, and you can do everything that you're able to do, but you are not able to make any crop actually grow. You don't perform that miracle. Yes, God allows you to be used, and because you threw the seed and you prepared the land there and you watered it, God performed a miracle and made that seed germinate and grow. But it wasn't you or my doing or your doing. God produced the increase. And as we preach the gospel and we're involved in missions and you pray for mission and you give so this can go, when somebody comes to know Christ as their Savior, that is God's doing. God brings increase there, and God is the one who performs the work in our churches. Amen. God is the one who changes lives. God still transforms, and that is God's doing, but he wants to use you and me. He wants to use us as a vessel, as a witness, as a testimony to plant that seed, and then watch as God does something wonderful with that, and water the seed, and God will do something wonderful with that. So let's remember that we're not anything. I love Paul's humble attitude here. He could have bragged. I mean, humanly speaking, he did a lot of great things. But he said, you know what? I've planted the seed, but I'm not anything. God's the one who gets all the glory. God is the one who gives the increase. And I hope that today you can remember that whatever you do in this church here, whatever you do for missions, however much you might be giving, however much you might be praying, however much you might go soul winning, all the glory goes to God. Thank you, God, for helping me. Thank you for using me, for allowing me to serve. And thank you for giving the increase. Neither he that watereth is anything, but God that giveth the increase. So remember today, God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one who does it. When I met Francisco, he's a deaf man who grew up outside of the city in a rural area without any other deaf contact. So he grew up not knowing sign language. He just knew a few home signs to communicate with his parents. And we started our deaf church. He came as a visitor, but he didn't understand much of what was being said. And he was learning sign language at that point because he had moved to the big city and was meeting deaf people. But I went to his home and tried to witness to him and explain the gospel. And through a series of meetings and time invested in trying to present the gospel in different methods, using flashcards and pantomiming and then teaching him some signs, the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, and he understood. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. You know, he had the biggest smile, and he came to church that next day, and he was pointing to his heart and pointing up to heaven because he knew that Jesus had changed him. That wasn't me. I can't wash away his sins, and I can't give him the joy that's in his heart and the smile on his face. I can't give him eternal life. That's all God's doing. God just uses us as a vessel, and God is the one who deserves all the glory. If you notice the next verse, number 8, it says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's that team effort right there. Let's not be divided. Let's work together. We're one. You know, we're serving one God, and we want to work together as a team. But look at the individuality of your reward. It says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now you might be here, and you might say, yes, I'm a part of New Heights Baptist Church, and what a great church, and we're one together serving God, and look at all these missionaries, and we're on a team together. And you might say, you know, we've given so many $1,000s to missions in this year. That's wonderful. But what of that will happen because of you? How much of that was because of your individual participation? We need to work together as one, but the Bible says that every man shall receive his own reward. You're not going to necessarily get a reward for the missions giving that this church has had if you're not personally giving. You know, it's so easy to get behind a church and kind of brag on our church. And, you know, hey, my church is a missions-minded church. We give so much to missions. but don't use that as a cop-out for your personal participation. You need to be involved yourself. And don't say, our church loves missionaries and prays for missionaries, if you aren't personally praying for missionaries and supporting them. And so we need to realize that we will have an individual reward. And that's what we need to work and do our best so we can have something to present at the throne and throw at Jesus' feet when we get to heaven. But we will receive our individual rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about that, and I'll just read it real quickly. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to all stand before God. And by the way, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, the moment you stand before God will not be the same moment that a born-again believer will stand before God. There's going to be two separate judgments. And when we get raptured and taken to heaven, those who are born again and are saved and have trusted Christ as our Savior, we're going to be rewarded for what we've done. But if you've never trusted Christ, when you face the Lord, when you face God Almighty, you'll be at the great right throne judgment. And if your name's not written in the book of life, then you will be cast into an eternal lake of fire. And so the first thing we need to do to be on the team is trust Christ as our personal Savior. Put all our faith in Him. He's done all the work for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood. He did everything. It's like the cake that I enjoyed this morning, a pound cake, which probably added a pound to me. It was delicious, but I didn't have any part in that. You know, I shouldn't take that cake and say, you know, let me add some more egg and sugar and salt to this. No, it's done. God's work on the cross was done. Jesus Christ died for us. You have nothing else to do to be saved but trust Him and accept His free gift. And once you have that gift, you can be on the team and you can serve the Lord and you can see God change other people's lives, but you're going to receive the reward for what you have done individually. And finally, verse number 9, it goes on again to reemphasize the team labor. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Can you say that? Are you a laborer together? Have you been working together? Are you on the same page? Are you on the same team? Are you contributing to the advancement of the gospel, not only here, but around the world? Or you kind of want to do your own thing? Always contradicting, wanting to do things your way, not participating, and just being a little stubborn about it? Or are you just a bencher? You come, you get fed, and you leave full, but you don't contribute. We need to be together, working together for the cause of Christ. God has given us a wonderful opportunity. One day we'll stand before Him and receive our reward, but in the meantime, I want to remember that I'm not anything. I am nobody. God is everything. And whatever He's accomplished in this church, in your life, in our work on the field, is because of His grace and mercy in our lives. Let's just keep serving Him until the day He takes us or until the day we die. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And would you stand with me as we begin the invitation this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? I don't know how many here would say that maybe you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You know, yesterday we were out talking to people about that and what an opportunity it is to share the gospel. But if you don't know 100% for sure that that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven, there's no greater moment than this morning to make that decision. And somebody would love to share with you out of the Bible how you can know for sure. But maybe you are a Christian this morning and the Lord's spoken to your heart about being more actively involved on the team. Not just being a bencher, but actually doing something about it. Getting involved, serving in the local church through your soul winning program here, but also unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Through your faith promise giving and through prayer, you can be able to reach the world for Christ. Have you been involved?